Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And welcome to Revolutionary Life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. All right. And we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we look at everything in our lives through a revolutionary point of view. And tonight, guys, we're talking about anti-Asian violence. What the F is going on? What's up with anti-Asian violence? Where is this coming from, and where in the hell is it going, and why? Up on that tonight. And because there's some interesting things going on in the world today. And one of the ones that caught my attention is that for some reason or another, there's anti-Asian violence on the streets of the U.S., from what I understand. And so tonight, we're going to ask, what the hell's going on with anti-Asian violence? Where's it coming from, guys? Where's it going, folks? What's up with this Asian violence stuff? We're going to talk about that tonight. Welcome for everybody. I thank everyone who's logging in tonight. If you're here on the front end, it's going to be great. If you miss it, you know all of our presentations are archived, so you can always go to our on-demand section and look at the previous presentations, including this one, an hour or so after the show. If you miss it, always tune in and pick up this show in an hour or so after it ends. All right. Again, thank you for listening. And tonight, anti-Asian violence. What the F is going on? Think about this, guys, and be prepared for this subject. You know, this is a call-in show. And so at one point, I'm going to announce the call-in section. I'm going to announce the call-in phone number. And I'm open up my chat room. So those people who have a comment, a question or comment can enter our chat and post a question or comment. I will answer the chats as they come in. And if you call me, I'm going to put you directly on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. That's our call-in section. I will announce that as soon as I run the subject, wrap this subject up. I'm going to open up my lines. So, as usual, I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to contemplate this subject, decide if you've got something to say about it, and then listen to what I have to say. And you might want to log in to our chat, or you might want to call in if you have a position on this one way or another. And let's try to get it straightened out. I'm curious. I really am. I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't get it, guys. But when I come back, I'm going to tell you why I'm out the loop on Asian. I'm so surprised that it exists in the first place today in 2021. I'm going to give you a little music, guys. I'll be right back. Welcome to guys. Terry speaking tonight on Revolutionary Live. We're going to be talking about the anti-Asian violence that's been recorded in the news recently. As a matter of fact, let's start with this, guys. I saw a video of a man, a black man, I do believe, but I could tell on the video, and I'll speak to that in just a moment, but I saw a man on the video supposedly knocking down an old person who happened to be Asian and stomping them on the ground, knocking them down and stomping on them, and then kept on walking. There was a security guard in the store that this went down in front of, and the security guard saw it, but he didn't come out the store to stop anything or to say, hey, don't do that. So I don't know. Maybe he figured in his job. I don't know. Maybe he's just a minimum wage security guy, and he's looking to end his shift and go home, and he don't want to be involved. I don't know. I don't know what his motivation was. He saw it, but he didn't come out that store to help the old lady, even after the guy had left, to help the old lady up off the ground, call the police, nothing. And I heard on the same video that the guy said something about, you don't belong here, as he was beating down the 65 elderly. And this looked like he weighed about 250 pounds, broad shoulders, tall guy. And I think he was black. He looks like he was a black guy. And that really caught my attention there. Because I got this, right? I got an understanding why maybe Trump supporters, ex-president Trump, who talked about the Chinese flu, called the corona the Chinese virus, who put in sanctions against the Chinese, trade sanctions on the Chinese and that kind of thing. Maybe he got some of his followers into some anti-Asian violence, blaming the Asians. Blame somebody. You know, you got to have somebody to blame. So they blame in the Asians. And so I could see a MAGA guy, after listening to Trump talk about the Asian flu and the Asian virus and the Asian this and the Asian that, getting into some kind of anti-Asian mode. I can get that if I saw a MAGA guy do this, because I've heard the rhetoric. But this was about, that doesn't mean he couldn't be, he could have been, have a MAGA hat on. But I've seen some black folks in MAGA crowds waving MAGA signs, blacks for Trump. And so perhaps he was a Trump supporter. Perhaps he's got all riled up by anti-Asian sentiments voiced by the Republican Party and the Trump, and particularly the Trump administration. Sanctions in China, trade wars with China, and a virus, coronavirus, China virus. Yeah, I heard all the propaganda. And some people fall for it. And possibly those who did are looking for Asians to take their anger out on, revenge out on, or whatever. I don't get it, guys. I really don't get it. That's why the title of this presentation is Anti-Asian Violence, WTF, exclamation mark. What is going on? How did the Asians get to be a target of attack in the United States? I don't get that. Now, let me back up a little bit, guys, because I want to do a little thing on the Asian, and the United States government, and the United States, and the U.S., and the people of this country. Asians, let's say Koreans, North and South Koreans, let's say the Chinese, Taiwanese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Southeast Asia. When we start talking Southeast Asia, we're talking Vietnamese, Laos, Cambodia. And so all of this considered Asia. Right, Asia Minor, all that. But the United States, this government, has imported, brought in Asians to this country over the centuries for their labor. Now, keep in mind, global for labor. They don't intend that you're going to go to school with their daughters. They don't intend they're going to move into their neighborhoods. That's not why you're here. So when they bring foreign labor from either the Bracero program, where the United States actually flew Mexicans into the United States, or legal or illegal, they had work permits, they could work, and Asians the same way. The United States brought Asians into this country to work. They were free to come to find their home in the U.S. The same thing with Italians, same thing with Italy, same thing with the Statue of Liberty, bring us your huddle in your pool. We, at a certain time in this country, around the turn of the century, we accepted a great deal of immigrants. Some of those were Chinese, or of Asian descent. Some were Japanese. They were different Asian descent. Now, you were introduced to a Chinaman, or I should say Chinese man. You can't say Chinaman today. You're in trouble for that. That's just something we said when we were kids. We heard adults saying. Well, now we understand. And so these Chinese citizens allowed to come to the United States to work. Yeah, guys. The Chinese, some of you live in big cities. And so here's what happens when you bring immigrants to their labor. Or slaves, when you steal people, like you're stealing resources from another country, one of those resources are people. So let's say you buy people, and you slave trade them into the U.S. Well, you're bringing them here for their labor, right? You didn't bring them here to go to school with your kids. You didn't bring them here to live in your neighborhood. Don't get it twisted. Yeah, you're a woman, but you're welcome to America, to work in America, to help produce our products here, but you're not welcome in America. Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't get it twisted that you're really welcome. In other words, guys, the Chinatown in major cities, you know why there's a Chinatown in many of your cities? Do you know why there's a little Italy in some of our major cities? I want you to think immigrants now, early immigrants, Italian, Irish, a Southie. Do you know why there's a Southie? Okay. Do you know why there's these pockets of immigrants that has developed in the country over a century now? Because they couldn't move into neighborhoods. That's why. They couldn't move into the neighborhood with the WASPs. Let me put it that way. The white Anglo-Saxon Protestant neighborhoods. They were discriminated against. They were reminded again and again that that's not why you're here. You're here to work for chump change, free labor, cheap labor. Don't get it twisted. You're not here to go to school with our kids and go to and live in our neighborhood. That's why we have Chinatowns. We have little Italy's and selfies. Because nobody wants these dirty, quote-unquote, and I'm quoting John Dewey, the father of, one of the fathers of our educational system in this country, the decimal system, Dewey, these dirty immigrants, educating these dirty immigrants, and quote-unquote, and they could not move into your neighbor, into the white neighborhoods, Protestant, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant neighborhoods. And so they had to set up little to welcome, to give a roof over your head, food in your stomach, a place to be. The immigrants coming over, they had actually had a part of town that they were restricted to primarily. You know, we're talking about the ages building. You know, I'm often surprised, but I think I understand how many immigrants end up being targets later in life. Kind of avoided that. Those who didn't assimilate. Happen to me think about that. All right? Because there used to be signs at the pubs, the nightclubs, the cafes, the bars. And some of those signs would say no dogs or Irish allowed in this establishment. If you were Italian, you were considered a dago, a wop. I didn't think of these names, guys. The Italians didn't think of these names, guys. The Irish didn't come up with these names for Italian people. They wouldn't call people. They wouldn't even call Italian. They were called wops and dagos and the like. If you were Hispanic, you were called a spick. If you were Puerto Rican or something like that. I didn't think of these names. These names existed before I was born. And they didn't resonate in my culture until I was older. And I found out that these was what these people were being called about. People didn't think of the N-word as a title for us, as a degrading title. All that stuff came from existing population before these when this got here. And that was the WASPs, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, saw the other. And I only brought you here, I only let you in this country for your labor. I did not let you in this country to marry my daughter or to go to school with my kids. So segregation was on the agenda. And white people in the South were appalled at the idea that you were going to let a black kid go to the same school that a white kid went to get the same education. As you all know, whites only signs, as you all know. One of the groups that were discriminated against were Asians. Well, the Irish, the Italians, all the new immigrants into this country experienced that segregation. Quickly, they forget the sting of the wasp. You see, the Asian, specifically the Chinese, As the Chinese helped to build the railroads, one of the known about the Chinese history in America is they helped build railroads across this country, the Intercontinental Railroad that reached one end of this continent from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. That's a long railroad. But there's a saying in the railroad industry. They said that there's a dead Chinese man. Or they say Chinaman, but there's a dead Chinese man, a dead one. You know those wooden pieces in the railroad that the metal rails go across that are nailed to? Those wooden pieces are called ties. They said there's a dead Chinese man for every tie in the railroad that went across this country. Why was that? The railroad goes from the East Coast to the West Coast. Union Pacific, all these guys got together, these big railroad companies. The federal government gave them money. The federal government gave them land. And they built railroads with cheap. And the federal government immigrated Chinese. No problem. Build that railroad. And that railroad was built, right? We got it. We got international travel. We got railroads across this country all over the place now. Well, for every tie in the railroads across this country. Why did it say that? What happened? The Chinese were paid to build a railroad and company ship, not in dollars. Not in Bitcoin, not cash. The Chinese were given a piece of paper on payday. And the only place they could spend that piece of paper was at the company store, the railroad store. The railroad owned the store. The railroad issued the piece of paper that they got paid on Friday with. The black people used to call it Chinese money or Yang money. Chinese at the end of the day as their pay. And the Chinese could take that piece of paper nowhere or to nowhere and be traded for goods and services. And so the railroad got their money back and got the little strip back in return for the Chinese labor. And they gave the Chinese pots and pans, shoes, clothes, whatever they could buy at the company store with their stripped, with their pay, which wasn't in dollars. It was just a piece of paper from the railroad saying this is how much this is worth and the only place you can spend it is in a railroad company store. This piece of paper. They didn't even pay Chinese in money, man. They had to give them some little money, cash. A lot of them wouldn't go down there and work for that Yang money, which was company stripped. Piece of paper. But history has left the slogan that there's a dead Chinaman for every tie in the railroads that cross this country. Because a Chinaman to death, Chinaman can be shot and killed or beaten for not working fast enough, hard enough. And he had no recourse. Couldn't go to a court. Couldn't go to the sheriff. He couldn't go to the police. Little joke that the Union Pacific and the big railroad owners used to tell. Somebody asked the big railroad owner one day, what if y'all run into a mountain? How do you build a tunnel through a mountain? He said, you dig a hole as deep as you can dig it in the mountain. Then you give a Chinaman a stick of dynamite and you send him into that hole and tell him to lay that stick down and run out fast as he can. Dynamite. The most you lose is a Chinaman, they say. A Chinaman's life was worth nothing. Sorry for your labor. Don't get it twisted. You're not welcome in our establishments. You're not welcome in our neighborhoods. You're not welcome in our institutions. That's not why you're here. Don't get twisted. We brought you here for your labor, your cheap labor. Because cheap labor is how we build this country. And what's the ultimate in cheap labor, ladies and gentlemen? Slavery. Slavery got outlawed. So now what? How do I get cheap labor? How do I keep all this money in my pocket that these people helped me make? That's how you get your profits, right? Someone helps you create value. You trade. When you give as money as possible to the people who help you make it. Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, who wrote a nation, if you haven't read it, maybe you don't know what you're talking about. Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, who wrote the book Wealth of Nations, said you never pay a worker more than you would for a machine. Upkeep. And maintenance. Work the next day. Upkeep and maintenance is the most you ever pay a worker. You never pay a worker more than you would a machine. I'm quoting Adam Smith, the father of capitalism. Get the book, Wealth of Nations. States, the slave shacks that exists down in the South right now. Animal feed was used to feed the slaves. Feed for livestock, black-eyed peas, purple hull peas, historically animal feed. If the master killed the pig, we got a chance to get the tail, pigtails. We got a chance to get feet, pig feet. We got a chance to get the ears and the snoot and the guts. Chitterlings. So upkeep and maintenance, guys. That's all Adam Smith, that's all the father of capitalism say you owe to the work, the people who help you make that money. Slavery was outlawed, chattel slavery. And so they brought these immigrants over here who couldn't read and write in English for the most part. And they wanted jobs. They needed work. They were hungry. And so we put them to work. But did we pay them for their labor? Hell no, that's not the way it works. You want free labor. Unless you give the people who help you make the money, the more you keep in your pocket. That's called profit. Profit comes from constant capital. If you know your economics, you know that some that capitalist has to provide more certain categories to keep a business going. One of those is constant capital. That's the capital you pay for the rent on the factory and the utility bills on the factory and the raw materials in the factory and that kind of thing. You know you're going to have to pay that to keep the factory open. The only variable, the only thing you can really pay with big time is wages. Oh, yeah. If you can get a Mexican to work for less, I've heard business tell working people that you're not competitive. Your labor, your wages are not competitive with the rest of the world. I've heard American workers tell a Mexican will come here and work for $6 an hour. If you want to be competitive, you should offer to work for $5 an hour. If he said, I'll work for five, you should be competitive and say, I'll work for four. Race to the bottom. Anyway, so Cheap labor was what the Asians showed up in this country for. They came here to make a living. They came here to make some money and to work. And they did. And they died. And nobody gave a. They were just cannon fodder. They were just a tool, a piece of equipment. They had no recourse in the law. They were Chinamen. They were Chinese. There were no laws in Chinatown. I don't know if you've seen the movie Chinatown, but it was even in the 1930s, 40s, Chinatown, if you were white, you could run around in Chinatown. Asking myself, what is this anti-Asian violence thing? What do you got? What do you got against it? Guys, China. Now, I'm going to speak on China just for a moment when I come back. And let me blow your mind. Before you get to anti-Asian, guys, before you let somebody sell you on going after the Asian, and I'll be back, and we're going Chinese. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. We're here every weekday. Between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard. Tonight, guys, folks, thank you for listening in. If you're taking the time, we're not here to waste your time. This is Revolutionary Life. Life from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution ain't nothing but change, guys. And there's a lot of things that need to be changed. And one of the things is this anti-aging rule. I ask in this question, anti-aging violence, what the F? What do you got the anti-aging about? Come on now. I told you when I came back, I was going to talk to you about China. I told you we're going to go Chinese. I don't speak the language, guys, but I know some history. I know some things that might blow your mind if you don't know them. I know that one out of every five or six people on the face of this earth is Chinese. One out of every five or six people that you on the face of this earth is Asian, guys. The majority of the race on earth is Asian, man. One out of every five people is an Asian, man. You sure you want to go anti-Asian? There's a Chinatown. There's a little Saigon. There's a little Vietnam. There's a little Japan. In every major city. Come on now. You sure you want to go anti-Asian? One out of every five people on the face of the earth is an Asian guy. Probably a Chinese man. I just want to throw that out there, just in case you didn't realize that. You ain't got nothing on these people. Let me tell you something else, guys. Hong Kong and the unrest in Hong Kong. And the oppression of China. Communist China. And I got expedited tariff on Chinese goods coming into this country. So it looked like we're going into a China. Guys, listen to me. This is the United States and China, or China, anything about China's moves. In the back of your mind, you have to remember. And number two blows my mind. Number two is the president of the United States, whoever that happens to be, is responsible for governing a country of 300 million people. The president of the United States, federal government, is responsible for feeding, building, providing, et cetera, healthcare, jobs, et cetera, but 3 million people, our population, the American population, a little over 300 million people in this country. And our president has to govern all of these people with all of their different wants and needs. And then in all the different states in this, I mean, if you got a household that's got 7 people in it, kids and adults all together, that's enough to govern a country. If you're the president of these United States, it's inherited 100 million citizens whose livelihoods are much, you're going to get blamed for, are pretty much in your hands for government. You have to govern 300 million people. I think that's a lot of them. That's a big organization. That's a corporation that's got a lot of employees, but none of them got 300 million to govern, to feed, clothe, and house, to care for. China has damn near 1 billion people. 1 billion people. If you walk up to a table where people are playing with billions of dollars, you got 300 over to the 300 million table. You at the wrong table. Over here, we play by the billions. Unless you get at least 500 million, you can't even sit at the billion people table. Y'all don't hear me. Damn near 1 billion people is in China. And this one man, Zhang Xiao, whatever his name is, this one man has to govern a nation, feed, clothe, and house, govern a nation of 1 billion people, not 300 million, not 500 million, which would be more than we have. So 3 times what we got to even get close to what they're running over there in China. 1 billion people. Everybody doing their own thing. Countries and provinces out of control. Warlords. People running parts of the country over there by themselves. It's so big. No. 1 billion people under one flag. And a government that's responsible for 1 billion people. How you like that? How would you like that job? Our president has 300 million and we got riots in the White House. We got people storming the Capitol building. Lives matter, all these different protests. And we got the nerve to tell these folks over there how to run something. I mean, if you had a PTA, if you had a meeting of mothers and of parents who are raising kids, meeting is 2, 3, 4 kids and up. Say there's 2 kids and up or 3 kids and up. If you got 3 or 4 kids in your house and y'all meeting about raising kids and somebody comes in there who got no kids, who's never raised a kid, or who got one kid, a single parent in your house, that person who's only had one to raise, their first one and only one, can't carry as much weight as the lady sitting over there. There's 3 of them teenagers, one of them still a baby, 2 of them are adolescents. 2 of them are in elementary and even school. All of them got to go to school. She's putting her hair out trying to raise 7 kids. You need to go over to the single parent, one child meeting, or this double parent, one child, because you can't tell these people with 6 and 7 kids nothing. You're out of that, they're out of your league. Wait till you have to raise more than one child. Then come over here and talk to us about how to maintain a house full of kids. That's where I see it, guys. 300 million people in America, that's a lot of people. a billion in China. And we're going to go over and tell them how to run some? We're at the wrong table. That's all I'm saying. Wrong table. The Chinese got their hands full. A billion people. How you like to run a country with a billion people? How you like to control? How you like to keep a handle on a billion people? This country can't do it with 300 million. 300 million, there's got to be a table for that, like Germany, England. Yeah, 300 million. There's a place where we can go where people have an equal amount of people to govern as we do. But what are we talking to China about? A billion people? What are we talking about how to run a country? We're out of our league, baby. We need to stay in our lane. We need to stay in the 300 million lane. Until we 100 million. Then maybe we can go over and talk to China about it, do things. But come on, man. A billion people? How you like that? And they running things. Listen to me. When I was a kid, my mom used to say, this was 60s, guys. My mom would say, eat all that food on your plate. Don't you know they're starving children in China? This was in the 60s, guys, late 50s, 60s. Do you know they're starving kids in China? You better eat all that food off your plate, my mom would say. And she was right. There were starving people in China. World War II was over. Japan had raped, joined together with Hitler. And Japan trying to do with China what Hitler was doing with the rest of the world. The Japanese were riding Chinese back with horses, shooting them in the streets like they were dogs. Slave labor were on the agenda. Just like it was in Germany. Corporations, Japanese corporations, international today, because those families got free labor from the Chinese during World War II. The Japanese fascists. 40s, 40 years later, right? Turns out now China's running it. China's an economic powerhouse out there. We've been around 200 years. We ain't been around 300 years as a nation. Took us this long to get where we are. These folks did it in what? From poverty, from nothing, from poor care packages to run the calling shots. We ain't got no business messing with China, man. That's my point. We're a long ways away from being able to do what's on it, where a billion people have been organized. You ever built an organization? Maybe you haven't. But it's hard to keep people together, keep them doing their jobs, and keep the thing working. A billion people? If dude can run that place with a billion people, so well that U.S. corporations are ready to go over there and sit down and do business. Microsoft, these guys are all in China right now. Asian countries, and Asian countries, it's all over Asian countries. Building cell phones, iPhones, Apple. You think these guys ain't in? You know, guys, that most of the Bitcoin mining, if you got cryptocurrency, most of the cryptocurrency has to go through a through miners, Bitcoin miners, as part of its blockchain. Do you know the computing of Bitcoin is being by China? Your Bitcoin, that Bitcoin you bought. Do you know that most transactions in cryptocurrency are run through coin miners in China? Slow down, generals, great generals, back at the turn, back at the 19th century, and even 18th century, when all these countries were planning on how they were going to colonize the world, England, Japan, Germany, but you go back to Napoleon, baby, tried to conquer the world himself, Europe. But you know what Napoleon said, and I quote. They said, when are you going to go and invade China? China is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. Because when she awakes, the world will tremble. Napoleon got his ass out of China, anywhere near China. And everybody who's smart did the same thing. Do you know that the president flew to Korea? Because he had a general, MacArthur, who was about to invade China. And he sent a message, told him, don't go across that river into China. You can fight the North Koreans, but don't cross that Yellow River into China. MacArthur said, no, we're going over there and fired that sucker on the spot. General MacArthur was not only fired, he was, hey guys, I got to tell you, General MacArthur was not only fired for refusing their order not to go into China, he was put out of this country. And he couldn't step foot back in the United States. He spent most of his life in the Philippines after that. And it's not because he disobeyed that order. It's even more, it goes deeper than that. And we'll talk about that, MacArthur, someday. But China, but this government knew we weren't finna ready for China. And he told MacArthur, no. You can fight, we're fighting the North Koreans, but if they go across that river, we're into China. Because we don't want no truck with China. Don't start no SH, won't be no IT. One out of every five people walking on the face of the earth is Chinese. China is a government of 1 billion citizens. Not 300 million, not 500 million. And they're running things. Microsoft knows it. Tesla knows it. That's why they're over there. You're the only one that don't know it. You're over here fighting Asian against black man and got no reason. Come on now. That's ridiculous. But you ain't got no business. They got you arguing Asian. But you know corporations ain't racist. Corporations ain't got time for that. Corporations are thinking about money. And they'll go wherever they need to go to make it. And they've done it historically. So anti-Asian violence. Somebody done lost their mind. You got nothing to fear from the Asians. The only fault that I have for Asian violence, the only advice or whatever fault or whatever, culpa, made sense for the Asian community to look after its own and to stay, keep its head down and stay quiet and not get too involved in things that in America. While they were here in cheap labor, living in Chinatowns, stuck, stacked on top of each other in little corners of America. No. However, when they have a chance to assimilate, not just with the white population, but the American population, if they continue to be Asian for Asian, Chinese for Chinese. But they continue to be sequestered in their little neighborhoods and among their own personal little race and groups. at this time, when Black Lives Matter movements are going on, when fascists are carrying torches and going up and down the street saying the Jews will not replace us and all this stuff, when fascism is coming around, for them to still not be assimilated in communities, white communities, and all the communities, for them to not be open into society, but they keep up their little sequestering into their Chinese neighborhood and their Chinese culture and their Chinese this and Chinese that, at this late date, maybe they are. Maybe they're setting themselves up for suspicion and fear. That's what happens when you segregate. You remember, guys? Do you remember? Do you remember that white people could tell their children that black people grew tails at night? Maybe you don't. You didn't come, maybe you don't. But a white kid had no reason to go see a black kid or hang out in a black community. And so they believed whatever they were told. And Lord have mercy. Some black kids who had never went to a school with white kids were surprised to find out that white folks' ice didn't get colder than ours. That some white kids were failing in school, ignorant, uneducated. Black kids were excelling. You never met a white kid better than yours. Yeah. Somebody could have sold you that. But busing and integration allow blacks and whites to live in the same communities together, and we got a chance to see that they just were white people just like us, like we are. They're just the methods that they've used throughout history were oppressive. But that wasn't all of them. The Chinese and the East themselves, because they were oppressed in this country, treated like dogs. You remember, like Irish, the signs on the outside of the pubs, no dogs or Irish allowed. You need an area where you could be safe, where you weren't stepping on anybody's toes, where you could speak your language and there were people there who could speak your language. That makes sense for new immigrants and the like. But after a while, you need to assimilate so you don't allow bullshit to spread. And so now people can talk about Asians and anti-Asian this and anti-Asian that. And because the Asians are so quiet over there, and they're still running, and in some areas, they're still running that thing, and still in those and community struggles and the community's concerns and interests. Yeah, they got stores and they didn't integrate with the community. Well, now is that time. Now is that time to integrate. Because they're lining up around race and religion and everything else out here now. And the people who are saying we should be united need the Asians to join in. What do you call that? On the Asian sticking. I understand you do that. If you're a new immigrant, of course you need to go somewhere where people understand your culture and language already. So you go to a Hispanic community if you're new to this country. Or you go to an Asian community. You're going to find your language there, your food there, everything. And if you're oppressed in that country, if your heels hang and you got no political or legal recourse, then yeah, you need your own little place where you can live happily without worrying about being killed. The same border line around your community That same hiding within your community, not want to be seen, not want to stick your head up, kind of attitude can turn negative on you. In an environment where people are looking for scapegoats. So somebody feed your enemy. I don't know any Asians. There's an Asian community over there, but they don't talk to nobody. They speak language. Like they like us. So be doing something. What are they doing? Oh, they trying to, you know, they could give me any kind of Asian conspiracy in the world. And how do I verify it? I don't know an Asian. So I got to blame, I got to spread the blame around a little bit. At one point, yeah, it made sense to stick with your kind. Because the rest of them would misuse and abuse you out there. Because of your race. But today, guys, today maybe the Asian community needs to rethink that little pocket, maintaining pockets of their kind, their churches, their religion, their stores, their economy, their banks, all that kind of stuff. Early on. And you got a hostile community out here. But at some point, you need to open up. You need to integrate. Because you can say anything about them, and they're nowhere around to defend themselves. We're moving into our call-in section, guys. I just want to lay that out about this anti-Asian bull. There ain't no reason for us to be anti-Asian. We really don't want to mess with these Asians. I don't care what people say about these international conflicts. Nobody want to get China riled up. A billion people. If all of them threw brick at your country. A billion people. One of every five people walking on the face of the earth is Chinese. Or Asian of some kind? Come on now. You don't want that fight. But I do say that the Asian people should come on with it and join the rest of us. Join man now and fight among the races, et cetera, if they want to see unity. But if they stay quiet back there in the corner, out of sight, out of mind, ain't working anymore. You're not out of sight, out of mind. People walking up to the bus, old lady. He needs his ass kicked for stumping an old lady, first of all. But then stumping an Asian lady. Asians ain't never lynched your parents. That I know of. White folks have. I'm just saying, guys. I don't know what's going on with anti-Asian riot. We don't want that fight. Call-in section is coming on, guys. So I'm going to announce our call-in. I'm going to announce our phone number. And I'm going to announce our chat. I'm going to open up our chat room. So anybody got in contact, come to the chat. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. If you call in, you're going straight on to the air, so be prepared. I'm going to open up my chat room, so if people have comments or questions, they can put it in my chat. I will be monitoring that chat room. Excuse me, I will be monitoring that chat room, and I will be you in the chat. And I'll be right back. And I call this period, my call-in period, it's your time to shine. Thank you. This is Gary speaking. Tonight, Revolutionary Life, we've been discussing the anti-Asian sentiment or incidents that's been recorded in this country recently. I told you I saw a video where a man knocks the old lady. Yes, she was 60-something. But an old lady standing at a bus stop, big guy, comes along, knocks her down, stomps her. Stomps. They belong here. Put it that way. And turns out, guys, I'm watching the video, and it looked to me like it was a black dude. Now, he really needs his ass kicked. You're going to tell an Asian you don't belong? How many times you've been told you don't belong? You've heard, go back to Africa. And you're gonna put that mess onto the Asians? You don't forget who you are. You don't forget where you came from. You don't forget how you got. I told you. Just like black slaves, immigrants were brought here for cheap labor. It's all about cheap labor. The Irish, the Italian, bring us your tired, your huddled poor. We need you to work in the coal mines, in factories. Even your kids, 12-year-olds, people's kids who should be in school, Irish, Italian, we put them to work for chump change. Made this country rich. Quick the Irish and Italian and the Chinese. How quick they forget the sting of the wasp. I come up with patties. I didn't come up with honkies. I didn't come up with the term for Hungarians. I didn't come up with the term spics. I didn't come up with it. Our community didn't come up with wops and dagos. All those terms came up at the turn of the century along with the immigration of these different people from these different countries. And the white people that were already here, the WASP, I call them, the the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant gave them all names. They didn't what names that endeared them. They were you from you from the wasp, and you couldn't live in the wasp neighborhood when you got here. That's why there's a Southie. That's why there's a Whitey Bulger. That's why there's an Italian. There's a little Italy. That's why there's Chinatowns. They stuff you off in a corner and say, y'all can live over here when y'all get here, but don't come out in our neighborhood. I don't care how much money you get. Don't think you can move out into the white neighborhood. They suffered all of that, you know, no dogs are Irish allowed. That's what the sign says out in front of the pub. No dogs are Irish allowed. Quickly they forget the sting of the wasp. But now the Chinese now, and the Chinese, there's a Chinatown in every major city. Yeah, you're welcome to come here. But you got to live in this little part of the town we set aside for you here. I don't care how much you make, you can't move out here with us. Segregation came along, I guess, and they forgot all about all that. And want to ask black people what y'all problems. We white. And what y'all went through for a minute there. But now we got y'all, so we white and y'all oppressed. We got Jim Crow. When it says white, I might be able to get in as a greasy Italian or a greasy Spick or a greasy Irishman. O'Malley, Patty. These people arrived here because they were here for their labor. All it was to be done is to exploit them for their labor. They were ignorant. They couldn't speak English. And so they were easy pickings. And the ultimate of cheap labor, slavery had been outlawed. So how about the cheapest labor possible? You got to pay workers something nowadays, since you don't provide housing for them. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. Tonight we'll talk about the anti-Asian violence you see in the news. And I'm asking, where did this come from? Now, I saw the anti-rhetoric around the virus, the Chinese virus. The virus couldn't give a damn what country it was in. It's a virus. The Chinese virus. It didn't come here from China. It came here from Europe. And then in New York, from Europe, not China. The next thing I know, I see a video where some guy, a black dude, well, ashamed of itself, attacking an old lady, for one thing, and an Asian lady, and saying some shit like, you don't belong here. Black man, how many times you been told you don't belong here? Go back to Africa. And you got nerve enough. You done lost your mind. You've been sold a program that made you think you were a MAGA. You should have a MAGA hat. Make America great again. Black people look back and say, okay, now when was that? And what situation were we in when America was great? Again? The 40s? The 50s? The 30s? 19 what? So you got to be done lost your history and your bearings to start jumping on Asian people and telling them they don't belong here, especially if you're black. Come on now. Asians came to this country and were brought to this country in mass. One reason, the same way you were, for their labor. There's a dead Chinaman for every tie in the railroads that crossed this country. They had a joke. How do you build a how you build a tunnel through a mountain, ask the railroad men. Then you give a dynamite and you send him up in that hole in the mountain, tell him to put that dynamite down. But if you don't, the most you lose is a Chinaman, they say. Give me a break. 9-527-6060. I got my chat room open. So anybody needs a comment or a question, you're free to type it right into my chat. This part of my show, I want to shine. It's the golden time. What do you think? Listen to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Revolutionary Life. We've been talking about this anti-Asian violence. What the hell is going on? Now, I did say that maybe the Asian community needs to come on out a little bit more and assimilate a little bit more. I understand the need to sequester oneself and to keep to yourself and your community in a hostile environment early on as an immigrant to this country, but it's a little late for that. You got stores in our communities, right? It's time for you to be a part. And maybe that while people, it's easy to scapegoat someone you don't know much about what they do over there. Oh, they got their own this and they got their own that. So what are they doing over there? This is do that. And you make yourself a target when you do that for people who are looking for scapegoats. They're going to tell you, they're going to tell us it's the Asian people we got to worry about. They're sneaky. They're over there. We don't know what they're doing. They got their own this, and they got their own church, and they got their own businesses, and they got their own this and that. And they'll tell us why we need to attack them and run them out of here. And if we don't know anything about them, except what we see on TV, on movies, If their community is not integrated with our communities, their school is not integrated with our schools and all that. It's early immigrant and you got a hostile white community out there. They wanted to, and you didn't have a law to go back to. You didn't have anybody to protect you in this country except each other. I got that. But at a certain point, it becomes negative to be a sequestered community, especially when people roaming around looking for scapegoats. You make an easy target. That's all I'm saying. One out of every five people on earth is Chinese. You sure you want to have that fight? You listen to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. We're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard. It's a call-in show, guys. And so you're welcome to listen. And then when I announce the call-in, you're welcome to call in. I'll give you that call-in number. And I will give you, I have a chat room that's open. So you have the ability to go ahead and type something in my chat, and I will try to respond to those who comment or question in the chat as best I can. It's called Revolutionary Life. Because every aspect of life that affects us every day, directly and indirectly, but we look at it from a revolutionary point of view. Mm-hmm. Revolution ain't nothing but change. I'm going to be afraid. Revolution, it might be a diametrically opposed change. It might be 360 degrees from what you see now. Yeah, maybe not. But revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. And change is one thing that's constant. We are revolving, guys. And so, evolving, hopefully. And so, Revolutionary Life is about looking at all the aspects, your health, your communities, your society, everything, your religion. From a revolutionary, because most of these religions started with a messenger that was revolutionary, by the way. Revolutionary is talking about anti-aging rhetoric. And my love, the old guy, phone number is 9527-6060-6060. My chat room is open. If you have a question or comment, you can always add it to the chat. And by the way, all of our presentations are archived. This is to say, everything is saved on demand. And so if you go down to our on-demand section, you'll be able to listen to this presentation in about an hour after we wrap up here. And you'll be able to listen to previous presentations. Yesterday, I mean, like I said, we're here every weekday night, guys. So there's a lot of presentations you're missing out on if you weren't here. And then on Fridays, we do a wrap-up of the week's presentation. So if you do the presentation from like Monday or Tuesday, And, well, we'll go back to that presentation, do a little recap on Friday. So if you didn't have a comment then, you might have a presentation on Friday, 7 p.m. to 9, East Central. Revolutionary Life, and tonight we're talking about anti-Asian violence. One of the things we did tonight is I went over some of the history, some of the facts about China, facts, interesting things about China. Let me put it that way because facts change. Interesting things about China and the Chinese. President has 300 million citizens about to oversee and govern. 300 million people, that's a lot of people. 300 million people I worked with as a president to control that many, to oversee, feed, house, and clothes, make jobs for, et cetera, that many people. How would you like to run an organization of 300 million? Have them want in, have them want. We see protests, we see all this stuff. But it's 300 million, so it could get a little rambunctious. It'll president, so there could be seats that are for the president and all that kind of stuff. We see that a lot. We see riots in Washington, D.C., where the Capitol building is being stormed. We see Black Lives Matter protesting, protesters, and intifada. Their own ideas about things. It must be hard to govern a country with 300 million people in it. Well, let me tell you something. China has a billion. Stop crying. China has a billion. Change to that country. That's how many there are. You want to govern a country with 300 million, you think that's going to be tough with black lives and white supremacists marching the streets and COVID vaccines and rights 300 million people, that's going to hard govern for one person, for one party. Stop it. Stop it. China has a billion people. You don't even sit at that table. In terms of population, you don't even get a chance to sit at that table. You don't even have 500 million. So we don't even get a chance to play that population game. Only people with a billion or more are anywhere close to a billion can sit at that table. You have to be a nickel in the neighborhood of people. But them whales, when you're talking billions of people, and you're running that place, and you're governing that place, and you make that place in 50 years, you make that world power, a world power. All your bitcoins are being mined in China. All your major corporations have offices in Tesla, iPhones, Apple, Microsoft. These corporations know what time it is. They ain't anti-Chinese. That money, you anti-Chinese. They let y'all fight each other over a mess like that. Chinese, black, white, they ain't fighting over that stuff. They go wherever they need to go. They're Chinese in Africa. We need to have that conversation. Chinese are now open factories and production processes and farms and whatnot throughout Africa now. In the 60s, I was told to eat all the food on my plate because people in China were starving. Little kids in China were starving. I know little kids in China were starving. After World War II, 1940s, 50s, yeah. That was the 50s. That was 1950. China was running things. They made themselves a world from being poor to a world power in 50, 60 years, man. And they did it organizing, governing, feeding, housing, and responsible for feeding, housing, clothing, life, and happiness of a million people. Now, when you've done that, you get a chance to talk to these people about how they need to run things. China is a sleeping giant. Let her sleep. Because when she awakens, the world will tremble. There's a Chinatown in every major city in this country. I'm just saying, guys, leave the Asians alone, will you? Come on now, we got bigger problems. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight to my rat, I guess they call it. And I set some things straight, guys. You ain't got no truck with the Asians. The Asians ain't the one ripping you off. I saw a video where a black man looked like to me, a black dude attacked an Asian. And he needed his butt kicked. He must have lost his man. And I heard him say, you don't belong here. A black man said this to an Asian woman, 60-something years old, being knocked down and stomped on the ground, violently attacked. A black man, you done lost your mind, mister. How many times have you been told to go back to Africa, that you don't belong here? Need to be a thing. The people who are running this country, the wealthy, don't make it a thing. They let you bump heads and fight each other. Yeah. But Microsoft got offices in China. Hello? iPhone, your Apple. Corporations gone, man. They gone international, and they didn't stop to worry about race. You did. And that's what's holding you back. Maybe somebody wants you to be held back fighting each other. That's why they run off the bank with the bag. Maybe that's what, I don't know. But you ain't got no business messing with these Asians. And for the Asian people, y'all need to come on out. Y'all need to join the family here. Because to yourself. Because people don't know what's going on over there. And they can lie about you and say you're doing this or that. And when people are looking for scapegoats, baby, they're segregated from the rest of us. You make an easy target. You make an easy target. I'm just saying. Thank you. And thank everyone for listening in to Revolutionary Life Night. Every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be here tomorrow night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there, be square. And if you missed this and you want to look at some, you want to check out some of our older presentations, you can always go on demand. On this page, just look down the page, you'll see an on-demand section where you can bring up older shows. They're all there. So it's in an hour or so after we wrap up here. There's also a follow button up in the upper right-hand corner, I think it is, and a share button up there. You can share this presentation with others, and you can hit follow so you can keep up with what's going on, when the next show is going to be, and that kind of thing. I want to thank everyone for listening in tonight. This is Revolutionary Life, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. tonight. We can have you, and our lives are revolutionary.
Awesome.